Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Teresa.
You know what? I'm actually really mad at myself right now.
Why?
Because I left my coffee downstairs.
Oh, and that's a bugger.
It's okay. I'll survive that.
I was in the mood for a third. And I think I might treat myself to a walk after this.
Okay.
I'm trying to lose weight from carrying children. And like, it's in my ass and my upper thighs. For anyone who really wanted to know that bit of a detail. But
I did. So well, like, now show us.
To, right? Just like, I'll pop my booty. I don't know how to do that. Just kidding. But yeah, so I'm trying to get more cardio in and or like go to the gym. My husband is my gym buddy because I hate working out at the gym alone. And he's been slacking. So if he slacks, it means I slack. So we haven't moved to the gym like a week and a half. So I was like, well, if we're not going to go, then I need to walk. So yeah. I already ran, but I need to walk.
Couldn't be me. No, I go to the gym. I do. So I mean, you know this, but for anyone out there who doesn't care about my fitness journey, I was like very into Orange Theory for years. And I was in like the most incredible shape of my entire life. And like I had two abs, which for me is like crazy. I've never had an ab before. And then my body like literally shut down for like 2.5 years. So my fitness is like in the garbage. I'm still like whatever. Since surgery, I started going in the gym in July, August, I think I went back. So I'm like I canceled my Orange Theory membership because it's like $1 million. It's like so much fucking money. So now I joined Planet Fitness, but I do the Orange Theory tread workouts before I lift, before or after, but mostly it's normally before. I like to get my heart rate like really up, because you can look up all the Orange Theory workouts on Reddit. So it's not bad. I do like 2 miles or like 2.5 miles, depending on if it's like a strength tread or like an endurance, whatever. So I'm just like slow. Like I used to be a lot faster, but I only went like 2 days last week.
It's humbling when you start back up. Like when you, like I used to also think back to like my Orange Theory days when I was in like if you were ever, like I was able to one day just wake up and go, I think I'm going to run 20 miles and I did. And then the other time I've been like, I'm just going to do 50 today. And I have been able to. Now I think my body would break. So it does stink when you try again and you're like,
Yeah. Wow. And so when I was like dying for however long I was dying for before surgery, I obviously like had a giant organ. So like my body looked crazy. But when I got my surgery, I lost like a lot of weight. Yeah. And now that I've been working out again, gaining weight, and like I know muscle like weighs more and like there's whatever, but like I honestly do think like when you work out too, you eat more, obviously, because like you have to fuel your body. Like when I was just like dying, like I'd have like 3 Cheez-Its and that would be like my entire like meal for the whole day. I don't know, so yeah, I'm just like struggling with like things not fitting again, and I'm like, what's happening? But we're fine and we're healthy, and it's like a personal thing that whatever. I'm also gonna be 36 in 2 weeks, so like
that's
I know my
the
body
one thing that's hard to digest also.
Yeah, like I just like, you know, I need to stop looking at myself when I was 25 and be like, well, I want to get back to, because that's not normal and won't be healthy if I look like that again, you know what I mean? Like I'm basically middle aged. So
age range, like we're unfortunately victims of like the insanely skinny era, right? Like if you were a size 0, you were still too large. So
like, no, it was like so toxic.
So toxic. I haven't been that tiny in a long time. I haven't owned a scale in years. I refuse to
weigh myself.
I go based off like how my clothes fit. So like, I will totally go walk into like my running little area and like pull out all the stuff I ever wore pre-pregnancy. And I'm like, can I fit? Like, let's see where I fit. Like, in like, does it feel as tight? Like, and I'm happy to report it's been. I mean, I know you don't always go back to the way you were, but I'm gonna do it the healthy way. But I'm going to try.
I was gonna say, as long as it's healthy, and I feel like everybody has their everybody has insecurities about themselves, but also just like understanding that being healthy is means more than like aesthetically what you look like. So as long as you're healthy and happy, it's okay if you can't run 50 miles because like that's not a natural thing somebody should be able to do anyway. You know what I mean? I know. I believe you will be able to do it again one day, but like it's also just not
the same size that I used to be.
And like, again, that's fine. And like, you might run a little bit slower than you did, but again, that's totally normal.
Yeah.
My uncle was a runner his whole life, did marathons his whole life. He didn't run the same speed or pace he did at like in his 20s and he did in his 40s. Like,
I've learned.
Just getting older.
Like, I think this is, I had this mentality for a long time and I'm very happy. I feel like I think you're similar to me too. Like, because when you and I used to run together, we just wanted to finish. Like, I didn't need to be crossing a finish line, PRing every race, PRing these, like, personal records. And say, like, there's in the racing world, in the running world, there's this huge race called the Boston Marathon, which you have to qualify for. Like, you can, yes, you can run through a charity.
It's just so funny how you just put that. Like, there's this huge race in the running world called the Boston Marathon. Like, yes, everyone knows what the Boston Marathon. I thought you were going to say something crazy.
I'm shocked at how people don't understand, like, but I don't think people realize that you can't just, like, sign up for it. Like, you can't
You have to, like, qualify for
it. You have to qualify for it, or you do have to run through a charity and raise, like, a significant amount of money. That's a total fine way to do it, but most people want to qualify. I've never had the event, and like it's go based on your age range. So I think for me, like I would have to run like a 3:25 marathon, and then you need a buffer because everyone and their mother is trying to get into this race. So like you need a few minutes of a buffer time. You can't just you're not guaranteed if you qualify. So yeah, like but I've never been someone who sits here and I'm like, let's definitely make sure I qualify for Boston. I'm like, I just want to do crazy races and ask my husband how I can raise $64,000 so I can go run 7 marathons on 7 continents.
It's so funny. Katie's not like, let's raise money to pay off my student loan. She's like, let me raise money to go run marathons.
Yeah. If I could find a way to literally raise, I think I found another company that does it and their fees are a little less. And I think it's because they didn't have as a lot of big name people on board. But it's $48,000, which makes complete sense. Like you're going to Antarctica, you're flying like in these nice ass private jets all over the world.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how do I get on that plane? Because I want to go. Fuck those student loans. They're gonna sit there for forever. As far as I'm concerned, Mohila can go suck a nut. So I'll pay them back when I pay them back.
Jesus Christ. Anyway.
But we're not here to talk about Katie racing, Katie losing weight, and Katie owing a lot of money for her student loans.
But we can segue because what are you listening to currently while you are running?
So I'm like that little segue. I like that segue. So I don't know how I did this, but I managed to download a physical book and an audiobook that has the exact same plot. I started to get really fucking confused. So I downloaded. Please hold. I downloaded Holding. Love at First Book by Jen McKinley.
Okay.
McKinley? I'm going to go with McKinley. Where she, this like female main character basically gets asked or she applies for a job to work with her favorite author. It's set in Ireland.
Okay.
And her favorite author hasn't written a book in years. It's really, I would say it's like one of those, like, it's just going to be like a decent book. It's not shaking my chain over here where I'm like, I got to keep listening to it. It was cute. She's falling for the author's son.
Okay.
I don't have much to say over it, except that, like, I literally was listening to it one day and I was like, This sounds so much like The Most Wonderful Crime of the Year by Ali Carter, where she too was given a job offer and like was told by her PR company, like, you need to go take this job. And like, she gets sent to this mansion in England. It's the home of her favorite author. She's with like her nemesis. She heard him say something once. I'm not going to give it all away. It's giving me, it's a mystery.
Okay.
I'm loving this. Like, I'm loving this so much. I wish I had more time to read, but my youngest one is not sleeping. So I'm just exhausted. But it's giving Agatha Christie meets Nancy Drew, but in modern day vibes. And I'm fucking here for it. That is my love language, those two authors. But this poor girl, she's an author herself, very successful. She marries this guy who's a douche canoe, and he treats her like absolute garbage.
Yeah.
She gets into an elevator one day, kind of has like this meet cute with some guy, but like, she's not even aware. She just kind of like walks away, and like, you kind of hear how her husband made her go park the car because his suede shoes couldn't be ruined. But like, she had to walk through a blizzard. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So fuck that guy.
Come to find out that like, her husband had cheated on her with her best friend. She's just always made to feel like she isn't good enough. So she becomes like this shell of a person. She like tries to hide herself.
Yeah.
Her husband takes everything from her, like her books, her royalties. He claims that like half of her book ideas were his ideas. So she starts writing underneath like face other names, like different pseudonyms, just so she can like start making her own money to buy all her royalties back. So she's kind of been through the ringer. And then this guy shows up with her on this trip, and it goes back and forth the timeline, which is really nice. So you get like flashbacks of like meeting in the past, but you also learn more about his past because he's kind of mysterious. Yeah. But then they're all in this mansion with this woman's, her name is Eleanor Ashley, and she's a famous author. Again, like, she gives me Agatha Christie vibes. And from what I'm getting, because I'm almost done, but she's bringing these two in to basically prove that someone is out to kill her. And one of the murderers is in the house. It's almost like Clue also, like you're all there together and like someone's the murderer, but like someone's got to solve this. So it's like little bits and pieces of everything. Ali Carter, The Blonde Identity, I know you were obsessed with. I really did enjoy the book, but she writes very fast paced, fun plots. They're so entertaining and they're quick books. You do get like a lot of tension with the characters. I'm fairly certain The Blonde Identity didn't have Spice, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think so.
Honestly, I don't remember. It could have been like a Christina Lauren type Spice where it like it's implied and like there's like a little bit, but it's not really like on page. I don't remember there being like spicy scenes.
Yeah, I'm literally at 80%, which slow burn, but which it is. I don't know if there'll be payoff, but it's really good. I can't figure out that shouldn't shock anybody listening. I don't pick up any kind of breadcrumb. So I'm really enjoying that. But then I did have to switch gears with my audiobooks. Again, I just wasn't.
It was just like too much.
It was too similar in the beginning. I was like, what's happening? And then it wasn't holding my interest. So again, if I'm running like a 6 mile run, I need something to catch my interest. So yeah, I went to Holiday Romance, another Irish thing. I'm on an Irish kick, I guess.
By
Catherine Walsh. I think it came out last year.
What's it called?
Holiday Romance.
Okay.
It's like these two friends. This guy dated her friend, which you come to find out, like, she kind of was like a shitty friend. Mm-hmm. And she broke up with him as they were on their flight back to Ireland to go home. And ever since then, every year they've been meeting up to fly home together. They get stuck this year and like do 8 million different things to try to get back to Ireland. It's cute. Again, nothing to like seriously write home about. It's like, you have to read this right now. But if you are looking for just like a cute, fun holiday romance of like friends becoming lovers, it's very cute. I'm almost done with it. I'm enjoying it.
I do love a friend becoming a lover.
Right? And they have like fun accents. So it's single narrator, but she does a phenomenal job. With the accent. Sometimes when you get the accents, I'm like, what are you saying? Like, I don't get it. Like, I can't hear you.
Yeah, we're like, well, actually.
Yeah, what you're saying right now.
I just finished a really good audiobook today, actually. And it was like blowing up like all over TikTok. It's narrated by Jacob Morgan. And the female narrator, I don't think I'm familiar with, but she sounded very familiar, but the name was not a name that I think I was familiar with. So it could just be like a pen name for her, but Alana Wolf. You don't want to know why? Okay, never mind. I know why I know her. She narrated Priest and King of Sloth as well. I'm like, she sounds so familiar. Anyway, the book was like all over TikTok. And it was like, oh, it's like kind of like a dark romance. You guys know dark romances always get me and then I hate them. I wouldn't call this a dark romance. It's Lights Out by Nevessa Allen. So it gives more, it's not at all like Butcher and Blackbird, but it gives that kind of vibe where like, I'm not really calling that dark. I'm not calling that dark romance either. It's like more like dark romance, rom-com, whatever. But the narration's done really well. It's a duet. Jacob Morgan can just like narrate anything and I'm going to want to listen to it. The premise is that Josh, his father, was this like notorious serial killer. And he like struggles with like not wanting to be like his dad. And he had like, he looks exactly like his dad. And like a lot of like true crime junkies like recognize him. So he like lives like a very like reclusive kind of life. He lives with his best friend, Tyler. They've been best friends since childhood, whatever. But Josh, like he doesn't have any social media or anything like that, but it's what is essentially like a TikTok account, but he wears like a mask and he does like thirst traps like with his like shirt off and stuff. Okay. Have you ever? I mean, you probably haven't. Your whole TikTok is like running, but there are like people on the internet who like wear masks and like whatever. Allie is a female main character. She's a trauma ER nurse, and she's like obsessed with this TikTok account. And she's like home after a shift. She's feeling a little horny. She takes a screenshot and she sends it to like the last guy that she got with and is like, hey, are you interested in like maybe putting a mask on and like hooking up? And the guy is like, no, like also I'm seeing somebody, but whatever. She's like, okay, no worries. The guy shows his roommate. His roommate is the mask guy. So the girl Allie used to get with Josh's roommate Tyler. They met like one time, but like very briefly. Like she didn't even really get a good look at him. They just kind of like passed like in the apartment. But Tyler was like obsessed with her, and so then he's like a hacker. He's like this like crazy like good at computers, whatever. And he like runs like he like finds her like she like comments on one of his videos. He like finds her. And then he like runs a program to see like all of her comments on like all of his videos. And she's like a huge fan basically. And is always like, she's like funny. Like she just comments like funny things, but basically like, he's like, maybe she would like this if I like broke into her house. So he does, he breaks into her house. He does a video from her bedroom and then he like leaves behind his mask. And he like is like, oh my God, like, am I like going crazy? Like what? I don't know. It's like really funny. And like at first, like he's trying to like disguise himself. She kind of immediately knows who it is. Like right. Not immediately, but like within like the first like couple days of like whatever, he's just like so smitten with her like that. Like he basically is like, we're in love. And then I don't know, it's like a whole thing. It's like really funny, but then there is like something happens and like they need like her family's part of the mafia and like they need their help with like kind of like covering up an accidental crime. I had a really good time listening to it. I don't know if I would have liked reading it. It's not dark at all, like in my opinion. Like I think if you liked Butcher and Blackbird, then you would like this.
I just added it to my wish list on Audible. I feel like I'm always in need of like an audiobook rec more so than a physical TBR type of book rec.
Yeah, and the audio was like it was good. It was good. That was the last like audiobook that I've done, I feel like, in a while. But I read Well, I was gonna say I read a few arcs, but we'll be talking about From Air by Julianne next week with Julianne. So we can kind of skip that over, but you and I both loved it. And it actually comes out today. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the book is out. It's called From Air. Julianne is the author. And again, we'll go in depth next week with her, with our interview, but we both really liked it. So if you're between books or you need something like to pick up, great spice, great like banter.
Really well fleshed out characters. Like, she put some serious thought and like devotion into doing some research, which is kind of cool.
So I'd say pick that up, and then you can like listen next week and get more in depth with
like,
her.
Teresa and I both agreed. Like an Elsie Silver is an auto buy author for us. Devney Perry, auto buy. Like, after reading just one of this girl's books, like we both were like, oh, we're gonna pick up more of hers. Like this.
Yeah, like we're late to the Julianne game.
Very late.
She's has like we're very late to the Julianne game. And I know that like a lot of her books, like some of them are a little taboo, and some of them have like religious undertones. She even said she was like, oh well, like don't think everything's gonna be like this book, because like I kind of go like I just write whatever I want, which she's a mood writer. But this one specifically, it's book one in like a new, I think it might only end up being two books. The next one comes out, I believe she said in March, but he's a smoke jumper. She's a traveling nurse. They have roommates. There's a lot
really,
that is like,
it's a really good story.
It's a really good story. It's really funny, but it's also like really deep. Like there's trauma. Mm-hmm. So like check trigger warnings, but yeah, I really liked it.
Same.
And then I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but anybody who is a Krista and Becca Ritchie fan who liked Unfortunately Yours, I did read the arc for Destructively Mine, and it's book two in the Webs We Weave. Oh my God, that's so hard to say.
That's a
Webs We Weave. Yeah. And I really liked it. So it picks up right where Unfortunately Yours leaves off with Rocky and Phoebe. It's just a continuation of that, and it gets a little more in depth, and then they kind of like the group runs like their own con and you figure out some more, but then there's like more mystery kind of whatever. So I can't give a lot away obviously, but highly recommend. And it's on NetGalley. If anybody wants to also read the arc, so check it out there. And then we were supposed to read it for the podcast, but we like couldn't commit because of Katie having like five kids, well, two kids, but like a million children. But I did finish The Songbird and The Heart of Stone, which is Carissa Broadbent's newest book, book three in the Crowns of Nyaxia series. I finished that yesterday and I really liked it. There was like, it got a little like redundant at one point. Okay. Like towards the end, I was like, okay. And then the end happened and I was like, oh my God, I need the next book.
Okay.
And I I love her writing. I'm trying to get back into some fantasy because I'm like craving it. But again, it's like really hard sometimes when you go from just light and fluffy romances to fantasy, because like you kind of have to like retrain your brain. So I'm trying to
I'm going to segue into another fantasy book. It doesn't come out until April, which is such a bummer. But because we've been out of the fantasy world for a bit, and you're right with everything you say, I do find that, I mean, I know Carissa Broadbent is just a fantasy writer. Like, she hasn't done romance books. But I like, if you're a fantasy reader, you know that first 20% is a fucking uphill battle. Like, you are trucking through names, you're trucking through worlds, you're trucking through like where, like everything. You're just like, it's like info dump to the point where sometimes it's hard to enjoy the book. Our biggest thing we used to always say was like Crescent City book one. Like, if you can get through the first 20%, you're fucking golden. Like, you just got to get through that first 20%. It's just a lot. Like, it's just, it drags on a little bit. It's an amazing book. I think it's my favorite of that series so far, but it's just a lot.
Oh, it's definitely, it's like a top three Sarah J. Maas book, like in general.
Yes. 110%. I would listen to that any day, all day of the week if I had to.
Yeah.
I feel like Carissa Broadbent does a really nice job of giving you info, but in perfect doses, like kind of throughout the beginning of the story. So I feel like there's been some romance readers that are dabbling in the fantasy world.
Yes.
Debbie Perry is coming out with a book, which I'm very excited for. I can't wait to see how she does this. But Julie Johnson, you all know how obsessed I am, borderline, like it's kind of creepy. I love the Bad Luck Charm and At Last Sight, two books. It's part of the Witch City series. She dipped her toes into fantasy and it is picked up by a publisher, which is kind of cool. Like that's freaking awesome. I don't know how many books it's going to be. And that's the one thing with fantasy I think that gets me is if it's going to be like a 5+ book series, you start to lose me, especially if I'm reading them as they come out because and then there's so much time in between.
Yeah.
We all know how I don't finish things. But I read The Wind Weaver, also a mouthful, the Reign of Remnants series. And she does like a real, she gives Carissa Broadbent vibes in the sense that she gives you small doses of information throughout. So you're not overwhelmed. But what I really like that she did with this is you go into this, it's almost like Game of Thrones season episode one. Like you're just kind of like walking into action. Like, you don't know what's about to happen. Then all of a sudden, just, like, things start going chaotically. But you have no fucking clue why and who's who and, like, who's what. That's exactly how this book starts. Like, you're walking into the unknown and, like, shit just starts erupting. And you're like, the fuck? Like, who is the male main character good? Like, do we like him? Like, what's happening? And then you start to get into, like, the base of everything and you learn more. It's still very easy to understand and like pick up. I did not struggle with this at all. I blew through it fairly quickly. I do think with all fantasy books you do hit that like lull a little bit.
Yeah,
sometimes like right after a little bit of a climax or right at the climax before an ending, because it's like we got to peter off and then boom, like we need something to happen again. She's not afraid to do some stuff either, so I was like very shocked at like how something was ending. I was like, oh my god, okay, for book one, like whoa. But it was, I think you would like this. And the cover's beautiful, in my opinion.
I mean,
so.
I definitely do want to read it because I know you really liked it. I have to finish, like, Raven Kennedy. I have to finish, Plated Prisoner. I have Goldfinch. Yeah. Like, I have to finish that. The Prisoner's Thief, which is book two. And I think it's just a duet, but it's Holly Black's, like, Cruel Prince spinoff series that, like, I have to read that. I'm like, I never even read Legendborn or Bloodmarked. I own them. I heard the audio is really good, so I'm, like, debating.
The audio is phenomenal for Legendborn.
Like, I have...
Book 2 gets a little crazy, but it's still good.
Like, I have all of these that I own, and like a lot. Legendborn is different because that's new, but I'm like, I should at least be able to finish series that I started, especially Goldfinch. Like, I love that series. I just didn't like the fifth book. So now I'm like, it's taking me a lot to want to read Goldfinch, but I've heard that it, like, so Bailey and Sarah, who like, we follow on TikTok and Instagram. They both were not fans of book 5 either, but they said that like this book redeemed it. Goldfinch like redeems itself and like closes everything out like really nice. So I think I just want
to read it, but I don't know if I want to read book 5. That's my issue.
You definitely have to read the last like 30%. You have to. No, I'm still here.
Oh, I literally lost you. What were you saying?
I said you definitely have to read the last like 30% of book 5.
Oh, that I can do. But like that's the thing that sucks about series sometimes. It's like, that's great that the last book redeemed itself, but I don't want to get through the one everyone hates.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, unless you did like it on audio and you kind of just like sped through it, I just think it was a waste of a book. Like stuff happens towards the end that like you have to know about. So that's annoying.
That is annoying. What am I do yet?
Yeah, no, I mean, I started like another arc today of just like a romance. I have like a bunch of shit like on my floor that I need to read.
I need to read Out of the Woods by Hannah Bonham Young. That was an arc given to me. But I was what did I read that I was like, I can't do this back to back? Because I think it's like second, it's giving me the Mason Jar series books, book two, the Molly book.
Yeah, because they like are married.
It's the same thing. And I think after I forget what I was just reading and I was like, I can't do this back to back. Oh, Sunlight. I think I read Sunlight and I was going to do that. I was like, I just went from like a book that I didn't like to like maybe a heavier book. I don't know if I could do this back to back right now. So I was like, let me just put that for a minute.
I get it. I downloaded that too. I don't know what I'm in the mood for right now.
That's my issue.
All I can think about these days is Wicked.
I gotta go see that.
I'll go again if you want. Like, I would definitely go see it again. It was so good. I am not an Ariana Grande fan. I am now a huge Ariana. Like, she stole the show. I'm not even kidding. Her talent,
she's insanely talented.
But like, her music isn't like for me, but I know but she's a very talented person. I've like never like I was so blown away by her. She every scene she's in, she steals the scene. She just like is such a star. That I'm like, do I like Ari now?
I don't really like her
music, but I guess maybe I'm
her music
maybe I'm
is
just
not my taste. I do think like she does like a lot of stuff with like Kelly Clarkson, like on the Kelly Clarkson show. And I feel like even on like Jimmy Fallon, like when she sing, like what she can do with her voice, I think is insane.
Yeah. And I think everyone always forgets that she started off as an actress on like Nickelodeon.
I didn't
know
that either.
Yeah. And her, her just like comedic timing and performance in Wicked was amazing. Everybody's so talented in that cast, but like she just outshone like everybody. And it is what it is. Sorry, everybody else, but it was like crazy. I was like, oh my God. I just can't wait now for part two. I'm happy that it's already filmed and we know we're getting it next year. Cause like if they still had to film it and like the Broadway show was only like 3 hours and that's with an intermission or however long the Broadway show is. This movie needed to be split and it needed to be like part one needed to be like the 2.5 hours because it adds like more depth to the character. Like I even wish that it was a little bit longer and we got more depth because like, I feel like a lot of things are still going over people's heads.
Probably.
It's just, it was so good.
I'm excited. I don't know.
I'm excited for you.
I've
been listening to the soundtrack nonstop. Like who doesn't want to run listening to Defying Gravity?
Oh, literally. You just like fly.
Literally.
Unintended.
So I'm reading, like I said, I'm reading an arc right now. Beg, Borrow, or Steal by Sarah Adams. It's book three in her like When in Rome series. What were they called? I own them. When in Rome was the first one. Duh.
Because even when you were saying this to the title, I was like, I know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, Practice Makes Perfect was book two. And then Beg, Borrow, and Steal is book three. And right now I'm really enjoying it. I'm only like 17% in. Next week we will be dropping our interview with Julie Ann. We also, if you guys haven't seen, check out Instagram. Because we have some I don't want to call it merch. We do have something dropping. It's jewelry. We can say that. I think everybody knows that's what it is. It's just one piece for now. We have other ideas. We have a friend who works for a very big jewelry company. I won't say which one. But she also does custom pieces on the side. So she helped us with designing and getting them made. So we're really excited. Super excited. And if you guys are enemies to lovers fans, a little bit of a, you know, who, I don't want to say who did this to you, but a little bit of, you know, enemies to lovers.
If you weren't watching, it's just like a thrusting motion with her
Yeah. Yeah. So
you are an enemy, a true enemies to lovers fan.
Yeah. Then stick around.
And it won't stick in that, like, I feel like it.
No, we have like romance ideas. Yeah. Yes. We have a lot of ideas. So hope we're, you know, we're so really many hopeful ideas that people like this and then we can do our other ideas. You can kind of see them hanging in the background. I was taking photos before. Anyway, so check out the Instagram. We're doing teaser, like just a few teasers this week. And then I think we were going to post the final product on Friday.
I think it was Friday.
And then you can, the store will open Monday night. So stay tuned. Like I said, December. So next week, like I said, we have the interview with Julie Ann. On the 11th, we will be doing a Spilling the Tea episode. For anyone who cares, my birthday's on the 12th.
I cannot.
I'm just saying, you people might care. I'm turning 36. That's disgusting. On the 18th,
it's honestly it's like honestly kind of unreal. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
it's crazy.
Like people talk, like if we talk to someone, they're like, "Oh, we're 28." I'm like, "Yeah, me too." And then I'm like, "You've been 28 in a while."
No, I normally, when people ask how old I am, like I literally always am like, "Oh, I'm 28." Unless I really want to shock people, and then I'm like, "I'm 36," and you better be shocked by that. Because if you're like, "Yeah, no, duh, you're 36,"
don't you dare look at me and be like, "Oh, okay."
Then I'm booking my a Botox appointment. I've been saying I'm gonna book one, and then I just don't because I'm like, I need to save money. So. But if you tell me I look 36, I'm booking the appointment right now. Don't bully me.
Do you want me to tell you 36? So you
can no, I need to save the money, especially right now. It's Christmas. I don't have a single cent to my name.
Girl, I know. I'm like,
no, it same. Hurts. I get it. On the 18th, we're reviewing How My Neighbor Stole Christmas by Megan Quinn. And then the 25th is Christmas. We're not doing shit. We're not dropping an episode.
No.
And then TBD, because the following week is New Year's Day. So we may, I think, you know what? I think we will still drop an episode that day. It'll just be a regular Spilling the Tea because we're probably going to be reading a lot over Christmas and going to like have to recap whatever. True. But maybe it'll drop late. Maybe it'll drop early. Who knows? But there's definitely no episode the 25th. So you only get to hear absolutely our voices.
No, no one's going to listen episodes to our voices thrown on anyway. So let's be honest.
It's just, we're taking a week. We're taking the week. But yeah, I think that's all that I have.
Yeah, I've been slow this month. I like had a really good ramp up and then I just kind of petered off.
Yeah,
I'm kind of excited to get back into like, because I feel when you commute, you listen to a lot on audio. Obviously, yeah. I don't commute anymore. I haven't in a long time. But now that my mileage is ramping back up, I'm kind of hoping I could start crushing some audiobooks. But fucking Audible and how expensive it is. And I don't want to hear about Everand. I know there's not a lot available that I want. Like, every time I want to listen to a book, it's not on Everand. So I can't justify keeping that app sometimes. I ended up just got rid of it the other day. Because I was like, I've been spending like $12 a month. And every single book that I want to listen to is not on that freaking app. So... I mean, no one's twisting my arm to buy books on Audible, but.
Right. But still, I get it. You should do like Libby.
Do you know how long it takes Mattawan Library to get you a book?
But audiobooks, not always. And you don't have to do Mattawan. There's a library in like Florida that a lot of people use. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was looking, because like the Mattawan Library, like technically taps into a few different towns. And I feel like every time I want to listen to a book, I'm like, I'm not waiting 17 weeks for this book.
No. Yeah. No, that's different. How are you doing on your reading goal?
Let's take a look. I know I lowered it. Not like during the year. Like I lowered my goal after.
I've been lowering my goal. 2022, I did 253 books. 2023, I did 211. And this year, my goal was 175. So I'm like really coming. I'm trying to read a lot less. And I think I'm going to come in a little bit above. You're having
me? I'm a little above right now. I'm four books ahead. I put my goal this year at 120 and I'm at 112.
Okay, I'm at 167. In 2022, I read 190.
Damn. Yeah, I did 190, and then last year I did 144. It's just, you know, life's taken over.
Exactly. Yeah, no, my goal was 175. I'm at 167, so I'm 9 books ahead of schedule. But this week and, like, weekend, I'm going to have, like, no time to read. I have plans all weekend. We have Thanksgiving, obviously. But tomorrow I have to bake all day. Friday, I'll be in the city most of the day and night. Saturday, I'll be dying. And then I have our family – well, yeah, our family party with you. And then Sunday, I'll be with you. Again.
I know.
So just a busy weekend. Yeah, I'm not going to get a lot of reading done.
I get to listen to an audiobook on Sunday morning because I have a 12K. So I'm going to be listening to a book for 7.5 miles. So that's kind of nice.
That's nice. I also have my brother and my sister-in-law coming tomorrow and staying until Sunday morning. Like, they might leave at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning to drive down to Florida. So I'm just going to be busy. So I don't know. I might not have anything to update you guys on. But anyway, like we said, next week, the Julianne interview from Air. And other than that, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And yeah, I think that's it. Katie?
I think so too. Bye. Oh, wait. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See ya, fuckers.